This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Hello, I'm Natalie Pinchem. Welcome to the Journal of Neurosurgery podcast for September 10th, 2010. Topics covered in the articles going online this week are hydrocephalus and epilepsy. Comparison between three infusion methods to measure cerebrospinal fluid outflow conductance. A clinical article by Nina Sundström and colleagues. The outflow conductance of the cerebrospinal fluid system is used for selecting patients with suspected idiopathic normal pressure hydrocephalus for shunt surgery. The guidelines for idiopathic normal pressure hydrocephalus state that for unknown reasons, the conductance determined by bolus infusion is higher than that determined by steady-state infusion methods. In this study, the authors investigated this dilemma and compared three different infusion methods in an experimental model and in patient investigations. The results showed good concordance between all three infusion methods for the experimental model, confirming the theoretical basis. However, a significantly higher conductance was found using a visual bolus infusion method for the patient investigations. This study emphasized the necessity for standardization of conductance and resistance measurements. The need for an operator with extensive experience for the bolus infusion method and the better repeatability of the steady-state methods suggests that a steady-state method should be the recommended approach for estimating conductance. The study was performed in cooperation with Professor Anthony Marmaru at the Virginia Commonwealth University Medical School in Richmond, Virginia. Professor Marmaru passed away on Friday, January 22, 2010. His work has had a major impact on the hydrocephalus research field during the last 40 years. The authors remember him for his enthusiasm, sharp thinking, and generosity. Temporal lobe epilepsy surgery failures, predictors of seizure recurrence, yield of reevaluation, and outcome following reoperation. A clinical article by Lara Jehi and co-authors. In this study, the authors analyzed cases involving patients who continue to have recurrent seizures following temporal lobe epilepsy surgery for intractable epilepsy. The aim was to identify patients for whom a repeat pre-surgical evaluation would be useful and which could lead to successful reoperation. The authors retrospectively reviewed the records of 68 adult patients who underwent a video electroencephalography evaluation and high-resolution imaging after failed temporal lobe epilepsy surgery. Although a focus of recurrence was identified in 44 patients, only 15 underwent reoperation, and only 6 of these became seizure-free. Localized foci of recurrence were accurately identified in patients with early and frequent recurrent seizures. Predictors of contiguity of the focus of recurrence to the initial surgical bed varied depending on the type of initial surgery. Patients with baseline contralateral temporal spiking were 6 times more likely to experience recurrence from the contralateral temporal lobe after a standard temporal lobectomy, while the need to use subdural electrodes and the timing of recurrence were more significant following limited temporal resections. The focus of recurrence was distant to the initial resection when subdural electrodes were used initially or when seizures recurred early. Only patients with mesial and basal extension of the temporal resections became seizure-free with reoperation. Seizure freedom with medical therapy alone was achieved in 42% of patients with a non-identifiable recurrence focus versus 4% of those with an unoperated identifiable focus. The timing and frequency of recurrent seizures may provide useful guidelines for the yield of a surgical reevaluation, as well as information about the mechanisms of surgical failure. Thank you for listening. Sign up in iTunes to get all weekly podcasts delivered to you as soon as they go live on Fridays. To read all the articles published by the JNSPG this week, or to visit our podcast archive, please visit us at thejns.org. You can also follow the JNS on Twitter.